Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Patriots podcast. This is the week 9 wrap-up podcast. Sean here with James.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about the Patriots 27-10 victory over the Washington Redskins at Gillette Stadium.
Yep.
You were in attendance for this game, is that correct?
I was there, yeah, I was there.
Is that so? How was it? What was the atmosphere like?
It was pretty great. They did that, you know, the veterans thing. I didn't know what was going on at that point. I was a little, you know, a little tipsy at that point, but
it was
great. Real exciting. People were going nuts. You know, wouldn't
all
say anything.
Things?
Yeah, all good things. I wouldn't say anything too crazy. I mean, it wasn't like a huge rival or anything like that, but it was fun.
Nice. Well, last week we talked very confidently about this matchup. I think both of us said it was going to be like 40-something to 6, something along those lines. Didn't exactly work out that way.
They left a lot of points on the field.
A lot of points on the board. I was going to talk about this later, but we might as well talk about it right up front. They were 3 of 6 in the red zone, which included 2 field goals from inside the 5-yard line and Tom Brady throwing his first bad pass of the season, intercepted at the 10.
Mm-hmm. And then Edelman had that fumble.
Right. That was at like the 25-yard line.
25, was that up that high? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very uncharacteristic, but I mean, these things are going to happen at some point.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to make a bad read once.
And Edelman or somebody's going to fumble the ball. I mean, what's that, our 4th fumble of the season? And
something like that.
Two of them were committed by the one guy, so.
Yeah, and I don't know. It was, we thought it was going to be a complete and utter blowout. And the way it started, it started exactly that way. 14-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Just like that.
And they kept driving, and the Redskins couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Their first pass attempt, or, you know, I don't know if it was their first pass attempt, but they picked off Brady, ran it back to whatever, the 50 or whatever the hell it was, and then immediately threw an interception. Like,
well, actually, the way it happened was there was the opening drive touchdown, 13 plays down the field.
Yeah.
Edelman scores a touchdown on the left sideline. Then we do an onside kick,
which I want to talk about a little bit, but yes.
Out of nowhere, an onside kick in the first quarter. We take that down. Edelman fumbles. They recover. Then their first
That's
play for scrimmage.
Okay, you're right. Yep.
Kirk Cousins throws it off Pierre Garçon's face, and then Logan Ryan intercepts it. And then we get another touchdown, this time to Blunt. And so.
Yep.
That's how the game started. I mean, that's utter domination.
It was pretty crazy. Pretty quick, pretty crazy. The onside kick, what were your thoughts on that?
I thought Gostkowski did a great job. He really sold it.
He did a great job. Yeah, that was.
You don't like the play call? Is that what you're saying?
No, I like the play call. I was surprised at the play call, not because they called an onside kick, because it was that early. It was almost like it was the only time I feel like you do a special teams play like that early in the game is when you're not confident in yourself in something.
Oh.
I don't know if it was the offensive line going into that game that they're like, we got to score quick because if anything happens, we're fucked, which is kind of what happened. But it really seemed to me that they were trying to score quick because they didn't have confidence in their players, or they knew something was going on. I mean, we heard Collins was out with an illness. Hightower had the flu. Like, maybe there was like a bug or something that they all had.
I don't know.
It caught me off guard. You don't do that when you know. Like, I mean, you know, to a team that's that bad, the Redskins, and you come out with a play like that. I mean, that's like the type of thing you'd come out against, like the Broncos, or, you know, a really good team who you have. All right, we might need a little extra to win this game.
So you're talking about like when the Colts did that fake punt thing against the Patriots, and they
right.
Did they do an onside kick also? I think they did.
I think they did. I think they did both.
So you're talking about that mentality, but there's no reason for the Patriots to feel that way against the Redskins.
Well, that's what we think from the outside looking in.
Dude, that was fucking utter domination. They had no chance. No chance in that game. We had time of possession for 37 minutes. They had no shot. So here's what I think.
Okay, let's see what you think.
Is that they did they're watching film, they're looking at this team, they're scouting
their
kickoff, and they said, oh, we can definitely, you know, they're playing way too far off the ball on the right side here, we can do an onside kick. And the best way to do an onside kick is when nobody thinks it's coming, which is in the first quarter when you're up 7-0.
Yeah.
And also, if they thought that they were going to, you know, have a lead generally throughout the game, you can't be a dickhead and do an onside kick up 27-4 or something.
Maybe. I don't
so
know.
They
I
do
just...
it initially. I think they wanted to use it against that team. It's like Jamie Collins jumping over the line to block an extra point when you're up 10 points in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go.
It's that like came you... big. That almost was big.
Almost, I mean, if the onside kick happened after that, but I think they saw okay. something. They saw a good opportunity, and they tried to maximize what the chance they took with it. That's fair why enough. They did it in the first quarter.
Okay.
Were you really worried? You thought the Patriots might have been worried?
I think they were trying to make up for something. There was something just, you know, first kickoff. I couldn't believe it.
I don't know.
I still can't kind of believe it. It's like
it's pretty nice. I mean, he kicked it directly to a guy in the Redskins, hit him in the chest, and bounced right off.
I mean,
what was happening? It seemed like nobody on their team could catch the ball either.
No one on the team could catch the ball. They dropped the first two plays.
They touched the ball. It bounced off them. The onside kick and Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, they couldn't get anything going. Like literally nothing. I mean, they had that one garbage time touchdown in the end.
Yeah,
They had 3 points up to that point.
Yeah, I think they got a field goal in the second quarter. Oh, and they had a field goal in the third quarter also.
And we were missing arguably our best defensive player.
Exactly, Jamie Collins.
And Hightower even came out a lot too.
Yeah, he didn't play that much. And then, you know, obviously Jabal Sheard wasn't playing. Chandler Jones played pretty well. He had picked up another sack. League-leading, 9.5 sacks on the year.
That's pretty impressive halfway through. That's kind of going under the fly, I feel like, around the league.
He's on pace for 19 sacks.
Yeah. No one talked about him on
nobody
any of the radio shows, ESPN.
He's a beast.
It's almost never brought up.
Do you know the Pats are top five in the NFL in sacks?
Yeah.
Pretty fucking sick.
Points allowed, too, they're up there. They're pretty damn high.
So anyway, the game was going well for the Pats. Defensively playing great, offensively moving the ball, not necessarily converting as well as they should have in the red zone. And then boom, third quarter, screen pass to the right. Deion Lewis cuts up field 12, 15 yards, and then falls down.
Yeah, grabs his knee.
Grabs his left knee. Almost exactly the same cut as Wes Welker when he tore his ACL.
Yes, I thought of the same thing too.
Oh, it's just horrific to see. And then, I mean, he was down for 5-10 minutes. The whole team came over. Like Bill Belichick's out there. Matt Patricia pulled him aside when he was walking on the sideline. It was just tough to see from a guy who was just like breaking out. He was having his breakout season.
Yeah, literally. And then it was a non-contact knee injury. I mean, that's
in the third quarter of a game that was easily in hand.
Yeah. I mean, that type of injury is almost like a ticking time bomb, though. I mean, it seemed like it would have happened at some point or another, which is just too bad.
Huge blow. I mean, we had talked about this a few weeks ago when he sat out, what was it, the Jets game, I think?
Yeah.
And we came back the next week, and when he lit it up against the Dolphins, we went, holy shit, do you see how valuable this guy is?
He makes that much of a difference on a game. Just because of his quickness, his agility, you know, his agility, his vision, all the things we've talked about in the past. I mean, they have small ways to plug that hole that he's going to leave, but I mean, no one's going to fill that void. There's almost no one in the league that would even fill that. You can't
if we got Shane Vereen back, it still would probably be a little bit of a drop off.
Oh, definitely. I haven't been as impressed with anybody. The whole, you know, receiving running back. I mean he was easily the most impressive I've seen.
Yeah. There's a reason he was like top five in the NFL in terms of receiving yardage for a running back. He had like 400 yards almost, 380 yards receiving.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Over six and a half games or something. But yeah, huge loss. Now we're going to have to turn to James White, who was inactive this Sunday.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not like he's terrible. He's just not close to the same player.
Yeah, he doesn't
Serviceable.
He doesn't have the explosion. He doesn't break tackles or elude defenders as well.
When he played in place of Deion Lewis, I mean, he had some positive plays. You know, he's really good at the screens. I don't know about what else, but he seemed pretty good at the screen game. Big blow. Another blow to the offensive line, of all places, with Sebastian Vollmer in the right before the second half ended. I think they said it happened.
First half.
I'm sorry, first half. That's
first
that's
half.
Right before the first half ended, yeah. Concussion, they think. Head injury, they're not really sure. Nothing's really been released.
Exactly. Head injury. So who knows what that means? I mean, obviously that means a concussion, but who knows what time frame that means?
It could be a week. It could be a month.
Like we saw Brian Stork, he got put on the short-term IR with a concussion. I mean, he missed eight weeks.
8 weeks. And then you have a guy like Sean Lee, who had a concussion earlier in the season and played the next week.
Mm-hmm. So who knows what it's going to be for Seabass. And with them placing Deion Lewis on the IR, it frees up a roster spot. And they haven't named anybody else yet. They haven't promoted anybody. So what I think they're probably going to keep pushing that back to see how Vollmer responds to the concussion protocol, how Marcus Cannon's toe heals up, how Trey Jackson's knee is feeling.
Yeah.
And if they're feeling good, then maybe we'll reallocate that roster spot to another running back or somewhere else. But if not, then I think we're going to add some depth to the O-line.
Yeah, it got pretty shaky there.
I mean, you got a center playing right tackle.
Yeah. Brian Stork was playing right tackle. I mean, during the game, I didn't hear the announcement that Vollmer was out, and I'm going, what the fuck is Stork doing at right tackle? I was like, is that 66? And I was asking all the people around me, and one guy finally goes, yeah, Vollmer got hurt at the end of the second half. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, does anyone realize there's a center playing right tackle? And you have
you said fourth, that.
Yeah. And then your fourth tackle playing left.
Yeah, exactly.
Any other team, I mean, what was the score by the end of the first half? Do you remember?
It would be 17-3.
17-3, okay. In the NFL, I'd like to think that 95% of the other teams, if that happened to, even with that lead, they would have lost.
What? With that O-line? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, if that O-line happened, not that specific O-line, but if that scenario happened,
I see.
Deion Lewis, and then you have your backup center, I guess. I don't know what you call Stork at this point. Your reserve playing right tackle and your fourth tackle playing left tackle. You wouldn't be able to do anything.
It is pretty wild because Vollmer was the last starter from last season's O-line that was still playing. Granted, he was playing at the wrong position for him.
But now there's nobody.
And now they bring in, he goes out, they bring in a starter from last year's O-line also to play the wrong position. Brian Stork playing right tackle instead of center.
And he was just activated.
It's all jumbled up. I thought Stork did a pretty good job.
It's not like he's been practicing for months and months. I mean, he was just fucking activated. And they're like, oh yeah, we need you to play right tackle. I mean, the guy's not a right tackle size. What is he, like 6'2"?
I think he's 6'3", but yeah, I think they said he played tackle for like one possession in college.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And now he's playing right tackle and, you know, pass protecting against Ryan Kerrigan.
On top of, what's his name, playing left tackle.
Fleming
has never played left or hasn't played left tackle since like high school or something. I don't know what the hell he said, but they're like, oh, have you played that? And he was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, any other team would have ravaged. Any other team would have been ravaged by that.
Well, I think that's why we played so conservatively in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were a ton of quick screens. Obviously, Blunt had 29 carries.
Yeah.
We were feeding the beast. I think they were very concerned about putting Tom in any type of vulnerable position with like a deep drop back or even play action at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't want to. I mean, watching Stork, you know, he did a decent job out there, but there was like one play where he just tackled the D lineman.
Oh yeah,
and they called holding. It's like that's gonna happen, you know.
Yeah, it's like I would rather you tackle him than give him a free lane to Brady.
Oh, yeah. And that's what he did. He was just like, saw it. He's like, all right, fuck this.
Amazing. Zero sacks. Zero sacks given up by this O-line.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, craziness. On TV, they kept saying, Michael Williams is playing right tackle. Can you believe it? They got a tackle playing right tackle. They said it for like six consecutive plays, and I'm losing my shit. Screaming at the TV. It's Brian Stork the whole fucking time at right tackle.
Yeah.
But they couldn't count the guys from the center. He's playing tight end. They're like, oh, he's a tackle. Tight end playing tackle.
He's playing the same position. That's what someone, one of my friends was said, you know, he was like, oh, and they had a tight end playing right tackle. It's like, no, they didn't.
No. We had a center playing right tackle, which is almost equally as bad.
Worse.
Yeah, it depends on who you're tackling.
Williams has played tackle in the NFL before.
I know, right?
Stork never has.
Yeah, pretty insane. But that's what you get with like the F list announcers they got calling that game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, since we're on the offense, I mean, like you said, LeGarrette Blount, he had a great game. He had a lot of good runs.
129 yards on 29 carries, 4.4 yard average.
Pretty damn good.
That's solid.
I'll take it.
Toting the rock, running down the clock. I mean, that's the biggest reason why we had 37 minutes time of possession.
Receiver-wise, I know LaFell had a good game. He had about 100, over 100 yards the first time this season, which was nice to see.
Yep. Edelman and Bolden both had touchdowns. How about Brandon Bolden filling in for Deion Lewis and running that streak down the right sideline?
Caught a touchdown. That was pretty good. I'll take it.
Exactly what we needed. Yeah, Brady had another good day. 67% completions, 299 yards, two touchdowns, that one interception, no sacks. I mean, it's becoming standard.
That he's incredible. Yeah, I mean, and that's with probably the worst offensive line he's had in I don't know how long.
It's certainly the most unheralded line.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, what is he? I don't think there was a person on that line. What Klein must have been the oldest person started playing on that line at that point, and he's what, a third or fourth year player?
Third year, I think.
Yeah. So you had him, you have Stork, who's a second-year player, you have Andrews, who's an undrafted free agent rookie, and then you have...
Shaq Mason's a rookie, and Cameron Fleming's a second-year player.
Second year, so...
The oldest guy on that line is 25.
That wouldn't work anywhere in the NFL. And somehow, you know, Brady didn't go off the charts, obviously, but he didn't make any mistakes. He made one
mistake.
Well, that wasn't that before, though.
Oh, before, yeah. With Vollmer still in the game for that.
That was when he was still semi-comfortable with what we had going on.
Yeah. That was just, he said he never saw him. I mean, it was just,
yeah.
I think it was a second down play. Edelman was just settling in a little zone, and it was
very uncharacteristic.
Yeah, I don't know. And the linebacker just crept over and Brady never saw him. He made a nice tackle, though. How about that?
And he tripped the guy.
Well, he took down the blocker and the ball carrier. It was pretty
impressive.
Like
basically flopped. He just like did like the Superman. He just, and they both went down. So
both went down.
Whatever.
I saw a stat. That was like his 11th career tackle.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh my God. How he's tackled that many people?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Gronk had a quiet game, which we were both talking about him having a real big game, and he had like 40 something yards. I mean, nothing too much.
Pretty quiet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't throw the ball that much in the second half, certainly.
Yeah.
It was mostly just giving it to Blount.
Mm-hmm. And then, defensively, I mean, it looks like we played a really good game, and it's, you know, I thought we played a decent game, but it was more of a story of them just not being able to do anything.
You mean like not being able to catch the ball? They had that tight end who went, he got wide open on a fly route and just dropped it.
There was a few times stuff like that happened. I mean, I think Chung was pretty good in coverage from what I remember. Like we said, Hightower came out for a little bit. I mean, he didn't do much. He said he was sick. D-line played well.
Yep.
Mayo saw some more extended time.
Yeah, Mayo and Freeney both got out there at times, together and separately.
Yep.
We had DeSean Jackson didn't do much. It seems like he almost, did he get re-injured? I mean, he came out late.
I was trying to look for him on the field. I don't know. I really couldn't tell what was going on with him.
I think I might have seen something that he's like questionable to play this week.
No, really?
He really. I mean, we were not that worried, but semi-worried about him that he could make a big play. And he didn't. Malcolm Butler was there. Logan Ryan played really well on Garcon.
He had another pick, right?
Yeah, he had that pick on the one that went off Garcon.
He's been playing actually pretty good.
He has been, right?
Very solid, which is very surprising.
I know. I was very down on him before the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had some games last year where he played pretty well, but like overall, it wasn't pretty. I mean, he got benched in the Super Bowl.
He got victimized against the Packers, I remember in particular.
Oh, yeah. He got torn apart by their nobody receiver. But it's good. It's great to see him playing well. I mean, that's really big that, you know, I mean, like we said, Malcolm Butler has been playing okay. He's been playing good enough.
Yeah.
If you have a just drop off of like nothing behind him, I mean, we'd be exposed a lot more than we have. But Logan's been playing pretty exceptional over there for, you know, doing what we've been asking him to.
Yeah, he's been playing great. Justin Coleman in the slot has been playing pretty well. He gave up. I think Jameson Crowder had like 60 yards, but you know that's going to happen. 50 yards on 6 catches. I think Coleman's okay. What's nice about our secondary is that we can play so many safeties in coverage.
Yeah.
That we only have 4 cornerbacks on the roster, and we really only play 3 of them. But that's okay because we can, you know, we bring in Harmon to play the deep center field, and then McCourty becomes a cornerback.
Yeah,
and Patrick Chung is already manning up on tight end, so he's essentially a cornerback from a coverage standpoint. So it's not like we need to have all these talented cornerbacks. We're able to fill those gaps.
You're right.
With the depth we have at safety.
And it's funny too, because I mean, I wouldn't say the last 2 weeks people have said it so much, because I mean, we've held our defense have held, you know, teams to low point. You know, low pointage,
whatever. Low point totals, low pointage.
Total. That's what it's. Sorry, you're pointage. Breaking up there. But people have said, oh, their cornerbacks are horrible. Like it's going to bite them, and you know, it's going to end up getting to them at some point or whatever. But it's like, and they keep comparing. People have compared, oh, well, you know, Brady's done it before, stuff like this. But it's like we have really talented safeties, which kind of gets swept under the rug, you know. I don't know, you know, we have the hard-hitting safety, we have the 2 really good coverage safeties, and we have, you know, Chung, who can line up on a tight end pretty well.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a first-round cornerback playing safety, we have a second-round safety playing safety, and then we have...
2 second-round safeties playing safety. No, well, 3.
Well, Jordan Richards, is that who you're going with?
And Chung.
I was talking about Chung.
And Harmon, wasn't Harmon? Oh, Harmon
was a third rounder. I was getting to him, all right? Be patient. I go from the starting lineup backwards. I'm not going to list Tavon Wilson first, even though he was a second-round pick. Regardless, yeah, there's a ton of talent there. I was reading something recently about, like, the last 3 drafts. The Patriots have, like, 8 or 9 defensive players from the top 3 rounds in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, they've just been overloading that side of the ball with young talent, and or maybe it was 4 drafts. It was 4 drafts, and there was like 9 guys. So it's like Chandler Jones and Hightower and Jamie Collins and Harmon and Tavon Wilson, Jordan Richards,
and it's starting to come together.
Dominic Easley, Malcolm Brown. I mean, all over that defense, they're just pumping in high level talent, and they're coming through. Everybody is becoming some of the best players at their position. Jamie Collins, Hightower, Chandler Jones. McCourty is arguably a top 2 free safety in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely. And then you look at the other side of the ball, and we're I don't know if we're the number 1 offense still, but certainly top 3.
Number and 1 in scoring.
Number 1 in scoring, okay. And we don't have a first rounder on the team right now.
The whole offense.
Vollmer was the only one.
Vollmer was a second rounder. Solder.
Solder, yeah.
Yeah.
Solder was the only one.
I know. Pretty incredible. And right now, the Patriots defense is 8th in total defense. fifth in scoring defense, second in rushing defense, and 16th in pass defense.
Really?
Yeah, they're fucking dominant. And that's not including, you know, all the second halves.
Right, we're in prevent. Blown out.
And we're giving up a touchdown like we did to the Redskins at the very, very end of the game.
Right.
Meaningless. I mean, statistically, it's a top 10 defense. And I would argue that on the field, they're playing like a top 5 defense.
Yeah. I didn't know they were that good. I mean, everyone always said, oh, we can't block the rush. We can't defend the rush. We can't defend the rush. And then we're second rush defense.
Second.
That's awesome.
And, well, I mean, we gave up a ton of yards in the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, remember D'Angelo Williams on the yeah. Steelers? He went for like 140.
Mm-hmm.
You take that game out, and then the Bills team, when Tyrod Taylor rushed for like 70 yards, and yeah. LeSean McCoy went for like 95, you take those two games out, and we are like historically good defending the rush over the last six games.
That's unbelievable. Well, a lot of that, too, is just because people are trying to play catch-up. But
yeah. Obviously, it's not. Still,
yeah.
It's
There's
not
a lot of factors in it. But, I mean, that's very impressive. And they're only getting better, too. I mean, we've talked about the pass rush. I mean, once Sheard gets back, too, like, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, and also, the further down the season you go, Malcolm Butler gets more and more experience and confidence, and Logan Ryan, the same thing. Justin Coleman's a rookie. It should all continue to improve as long as everybody stays healthy. Malcolm Brown,
Malcolm
who's
Brown,
really starting to assert himself. Dominic Easley is a force to be reckoned with
in the
on
middle.
That sub package.
Oh, yeah. And he knows it, too. He just messes with those offensive linemen. They don't know what the hell to do.
He gets a little chippy at sometimes as well. So anyway, defensively, really good performance. They essentially gave up 3 points. That garbage time touchdown doesn't really mean much.
Yeah.
Had the interception in the second half. Alan Branch forced the fumble, and then Ninkovich recovered it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, what more do you have to say? 37 rushing yards on 15 carries. Pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. So anyway, we expected it to be an enormous blowout. It was certainly a one-sided game, but not, you know, on the scoreboard, it wasn't as much a blowout as we thought it would be.
Well, there were chances for it to be a blowout. They just didn't execute as well as they should have, but,
exactly.
You know, that happens.
So here they stand, 8-0, halfway through the season. About as good as you could have asked for, right?
Pretty much. It's as good as it gets right there. You saw a couple other, you know, you saw the Broncos fall this weekend, which was nice, but the Pats are just on a fucking mission.
Yeah, how about that Broncos game, huh? Peyton Manning threw two interceptions.
Yep.
Andrew Luck looked pretty good, but oh man, I was watching that game being like, dude, you got to stop taking so many hits. He was just getting crushed continually, and he's paying for it. Do you see what happened to him?
Yeah, he's got the, lacerated something?
Lacerated kidney, I think I saw.
Yeah. Oof.
Oh my God.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds terrible.
Okay, so the kidney is an organ.
I know what the kidney is. I don't know what the laceration is.
It's a cut. It means he got a cut on his kidney, which I don't know what cuts your kidney. Your ribs? Yeah,
exactly. I don't know.
Whew. I don't know. 2 to 6 weeks, though. Don't want that.
Yeah.
But good win for them. For some reason, the Colts always seem to have the Broncos number, at least for the last, since Peyton's been there.
Yeah, it's the only other team he can beat outside his division.
No. What? No, the Colts have the Broncos number.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying it's the only team Andrew Luck can beat outside his division.
Oh, the only team Andrew Luck can. I thought you were talking about Peyton Manning.
Oh, no.
Got it.
Peyton, he just didn't have the magic this game.
Do you see he was going to pass the record for most career passing yards?
Yeah, he's like three away from Favre or something.
Yeah, and then he threw an interception.
Oh, is that what happened?
That's how the game ended. He threw an interception, and then the Colts kept the ball for the rest of the game. But yeah. That was, I mean, quite possibly his last pass in that stadium.
That's
stadium
ridiculous.
That Peyton Manning built. It was an interception.
Right? Go figure. And how about friggin' Talib? Did you see that?
Yeah, he comes in with like two fingers and tries to gouge a dude's eye out.
I mean, the game was still in play at that point.
Yeah, I think that was a third down, and he gave him a first down because he came
poked
in with
him.
the hook.
Like, someone was jarring, and he ran up to the guy and poked him in the eye. It's like, what the f— you're a veteran player.
Yeah, he's always had anger issues. I mean, when he was with Tampa Bay, didn't he get— he got arrested for pulling a gun on his sister's boyfriend?
Yeah, I know, but still, man, like, you'd think he'd— that was 5 or 6 years ago. You'd think, hey, the game's on the line. Maybe you shouldn't do anything. Or you could say something. Don't fucking poke someone blatantly. It was like the most— they like had the perfect camera angle. It's like, oh.
Yeah, he comes in wide open, just pokes him right yeah. in the eye. It's like, at least push him or something.
Yeah, like,
poke if he him pushed in the him, eye. He doesn't get suspended. No yeah, way. No. You go in trying to blind some dude, you get suspended.
Yeah, and the guy starts screaming. He's like, my eye, my eye. It's like, what the fuck just happened?
And Tlaib's response was like, he was faking it.
Yeah, and then Tlaib starts flipping out. It's like, dude, are you kidding me? They have a camera on, like, for every single angle of this fucking field, and you think no one saw that?
Yeah, stupid. Stupid play. Really, so anyway, Broncos are now 7-1. Bengals still sitting at 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
After their victory over the Browns on Thursday night. Bengals, does that team scare you?
They're very good. I mean, well, they didn't— offensively against the Browns, they didn't play that great.
No.
From what I remember. But
they didn't play excellent, no. By no stretch. Second half.
They're very good. I mean, does it scare me? I wouldn't say it scares me, no.
Put it this way, the Bengals are sixth in scoring offense and fourth in scoring defense.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty fucking good. Ninth in total offense, 11th in total defense. I mean, they're 11th passing the ball, 12th rushing the ball, 15th defending the pass, and 13th defending the run. I mean, it doesn't get more balanced than those numbers.
Yeah. But once again, it comes down to the Bengals just pulling an Atlantic, doing what the Falcons usually do and just blowing it at some point. You're just waiting for that to happen.
What if it doesn't?
Hey, if it doesn't, I mean, if they get, you know, they gotta win in the playoffs. I mean, I don't— they've done this before. I feel like they've been pretty good before, but they
never been
8-0
before.
No, that's just a result of the league being horrendous at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well.
But yeah.
We'll
they're good. It's pretty much, you know, them, the Pats, and a few other teams, and that's really it.
For real.
And then you got the Panthers advanced to 8-0, which is a big— I'm pretty surprised about that. I don't know about you.
That they beat the Packers?
That they're 8-0.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the Packers were the first team they beat all season with a winning record.
Okay. But that was pretty impressive. The first time Rodgers lost two games in a row.
First time ever?
I think so.
That's good. I mean, good that it didn't take— he didn't do that in the first 7 years of his starting career.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Panthers are 8-0. They obviously beat the Seahawks in Seattle. That's mm-hmm. incredibly impressive. And then beating the Packers. But those Packers, I mean, you got to kind of feel for them. They had to go into Denver, and then they had to go into Carolina. Not that Carolina is a real good home field advantage, but Lambeau Field is.
Yeah. It's an
away
game.
Play away from there.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers are going to be in there till the end, though. I mean, there's nobody else in that division that's going to— maybe Minnesota, but not really. I don't think they're going to take it from them.
I think Minnesota has the worst strength of schedule so far this year.
Really?
Yeah, they've played the worst schedule.
I could see that.
Have they even played the Packers yet?
I don't know.
They probably haven't.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, one of the games they lost was to the Niners. I don't know who else they lost to. They lose to the Raiders.
And then the Falcons. Was that this weekend when the Falcons lost to the Niners?
Oh, God, the Falcons. What the fuck? They lost to the Buccaneers and then the Niners?
Big old Blaine Gabbert coming in with that rocket armor his and just taking down the Falcons.
How about that?
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's really bad. I don't know. Yeah, the Falcons are up and down, man. Up and down.
They're always like
real down lately.
Yeah.
How about
basically cover Julio Jones and you're fucked.
I think he's already got 1,000 yards.
Does he?
Yeah, but they've played nine games.
Still, that's insane.
Yeah, he's crazy. Speaking of crazy receiving numbers, Antonio Brown put up 280.
Yeah.
Are you fucking insane. Kidding me?
That's to make up catches? For his last. That's to make up for his last few games where he hasn't got much catching.
Jesus, man.
Much receiving yards.
Big Ben gets hurt. Antonio Brown goes off for 280, and they get a win in Oakland. Or was that in Pittsburgh? I don't even remember.
I don't know where it was, but yeah.
Big time win, though.
They needed it. And then, but Big Ben suffered. They suffered a casualty with Big Ben. He's out for, they think, 2 weeks maybe, but that's including a bye, so
he got
might
a
mid okay.
foot sprain, whatever that means. There's no joint in the middle of your foot. I don't know what he sprained.
I don't know. But that was pretty impressive by Antonio Brown.
Yeah, unbelievable. But, you know, halfway through the season, it seems like the good teams are really good and everybody else is kind of, I mean, in terms of the playoff picture in the AFC, there's like eight teams for six spots.
Yeah.
And that includes the Bills. Like, that's the Bills are
really stretching that.
Yeah.
To get those
they
eight
don't
teams.
Belong in that conversation.
I think I heard something. I think it was before this weekend. I don't remember if I talked about it last time, the last show, but how, like, this is like the most teams that are already just out of the playoffs and the most teams that are like already just locked in this early.
Seems like it, yeah.
I mean, you look at what we're dealing with here. And it's tough to find teams over 500. There's a very slim few.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, you have two divisions being led. You have the AFC South being led by a team that's under 500 in the Colts. And then you have the AFC South, the NFC East, 5-4, 4-4, 3-5, 2-6. And once Tony Romo comes back, I mean, they'll win a couple games. It's going to be, no one's going to, I don't know if anyone's going to be over 500 coming out of that division.
Is 2-6, is that the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, man. They really took a hard tumble.
Oh, yeah.
Six in a row they've lost.
Yeah, they've. Remember Jerry Jones saying Brandon Whedon's a great quarterback?
Ugh. Really ate those words.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the guy only got like two games to figure it out.
I would say the biggest surprise for me is the Chargers at 2-7.
And it seems like they lose those game by like an average of 2 points each time.
Oh, and Phillip Rivers is having a really good season, like quarterback wise.
I think he's top three in the league in terms of yardage.
It's ridiculous. Like, how the fuck are they 2-7?
Do you see that going into the Monday night game this week when they played the Bears? Going into that game, they had one punt return yard on the season. 1 yard.
One punt return yard?
1 yard of punt returns.
How is that even? How? What, they just fair catch it every time, or they just can't?
They either fair catch it or run backwards, evidently.
That is terrible.
Yeah. Now they're 2-7.
Woof. Funny enough, everyone always talks about shit about the AFC East, our division, and we have one of the better divisions in football right now.
It's because we're shitting on the AFC South. We're just running train on the Titans and Jaguars.
That's a good point. Yeah, definitely. But and the NFC East too, as well.
Yeah, we're in the middle of doing that. Beating up the Redskins, the Cowboys without Romo.
Yeah, you pretty much pick the playoff picture. I mean, it's coming down to the wild card teams. Is really all it's come. I mean, people are just fighting for wild card spots.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only week nine. I mean, still half the season to go.
Yeah, and that's really all that's available are wild card spots. And there's only like three teams available to fill two of those spots.
I mean, yeah.
It's not the most interesting playoff picture right now. But no. Things can change. I mean, what the Texans are sitting there at 3-5. They win a couple games. All of a sudden, they're tied with the Colts.
That division, the fucking Jaguars could take that division at this point.
Yeah, they're 2-6, and they're still in it.
Yeah, same with the Titans. It's pretty sad.
Hey, Titans just beat somebody. They beat New Orleans in overtime?
New Orleans. Oh, those New Orleans Saints, huh?
They're all
They're really
over the place.
Kicking ass. They are terrible.
I mean, sometimes they're good. They beat the Giants, they beat the Colts, but then they lose to who? The Buccaneers and the Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to figure out what's going on down there.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Not very good.
Well, there's our brief look around the NFL. We will be back later on this week to talk about the rematch with Eli Manning and the Cryberry, the Giants.
The Giants.
He's going to call him
the
Booger.
Giants.
Booger Manning.
God damn it.
Calls him. Yeah. I know. Do you know they've beat us the last three times we've played?
Yes. I'm very aware of what they've done to us.
Two of those were in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Now I'm just poking.
How that happens.
I'm just goating you. So yeah, anyway, we'll be back to talk about that. And that'll just about do it. Anything else you wanted to say about the Redskins? Kirk Cousins, how do you look to you? Huh? Not too whiny? A little bit?
Not too bad. I mean, you kind of felt for him just because his receivers were so, just couldn't catch balls, like just wide open. And he had a decent pass. They just dropped it. It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, didn't help that he had to play our defense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, good win, 8-0. We'll be back on later on this week to talk about the second half of the season, starting with the New York Football Giants.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll talk to you folks.
Adios.